All of us probably have somebody that we wish we had a better relationship with, whether that's your spouse, somebody in your family, somebody you work with, somebody, one of your friends. I don't know who it is, but we all want to probably have a better relationship with somebody. I want you to picture in your mind, who's somebody in your life that you're like, man, I wish I had a closer relationship with that person. Everybody got it? I can see you. Brian's nodding. Some of you got it. Nicola, yeah? Okay. So I got this cute little rabbit here. Really simple idea that hopefully the rabbit will help you remember because it's super simple, easy to say. When I say it, you guys will be like, well, yeah, of course, that would help. And then you'll walk out of here probably and have a hard time remembering it and a hard time doing it, right? So here's the simple idea. Is that person you want to have a better relationship with, listen to what they want. Super simple statement, right? Like, listen to what they want. But in a lot of marriages, people just either assume they know what their spouse wants or they just think about what they want, right? And in a lot of our relationships, too, we might even feel like we're being pretty nice, but we just haven't actually paid enough attention to the people around us. Like, what do they actually say they want? So super simple, right? You're like, I didn't need a cute bunny for that idea, right? But what I have found is we talk a lot about we want a relationship with Jesus. As Christians, we believe that God himself wants a relationship with us and that he sent Jesus on earth so he could have a relationship with us, right? Like, that's the basics of Christianity. But as much as we talk about wanting that good relationship with him, a lot of times we don't apply any of the stuff that works in relationships towards our relationship with Jesus, or at least not a lot of it. So this is not very much of a leap, right? If like, if you could have a better marriage or a better friendship or a better relationship with your kid by listening to what they want, I don't think it's too much of a leap to say, like, I should listen a little more to Jesus about what does Jesus want. So the way this can work, you know, in like a marriage is like, if you're walking through Walmart or whatever and your wife happens to mention like, oh, I really like that candy bar or that foot massager or whatever it is, right? Like, make an actual note of that in your brain, right? And then be a superstar like two Thursdays later when you're like, here's a king size, whatever, right? Like, just the act of like, I paid attention when you said you wanted something and then I acted on it, it matters, right? Now, if you go giving candy bars to all your coworkers, like, that may go over well or not, I don't know. But we get the principle, right? Like, you pay attention when someone actually comes out with like, I've always had a dream of this, or I really like this, or I want that, right? What if we did the same thing when we're reading the Bible, we're trying to have our radar up, our ear perked like this little rabbit, right? Of like, what is Jesus saying that he wants? I'm not gonna assume I know. I'm gonna just wait till he says it, and when he says it, I'm gonna pay attention. So that's kind of my little pep talk before we read the passage. We're gonna just let this passage from Luke talk for itself, right? We're gonna pray and say, like, Jesus, please teach me. We're gonna read straight through it slow. You can put the verses up here. It's Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 26. I will have it on screen. I also think, like, it's really good to have it open right in front of you, right? So either way you wanna read it, but as we're reading through it, we're trying to listen to what does Jesus want to teach us. And specifically, I've pushed us to like, pay attention, what does Jesus want? So let me lead us in prayer. Jesus, we believe that you are alive and well, and that your Holy Spirit is here present right now to teach us about you. So we're listening. Please come and teach us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this is Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It says, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Verse 18, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles, like the roof tiles, into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So Jesus said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Lots happening in that passage, right? Like lots of interesting stuff. And I put this little trail marker sign thing up here because when you're on a trail, sometimes there's a lot of different things to see. And when you see one of these markers, typically people think like, well, where do I want to go? When we read a passage like that, your brain has a lot of different places it could go, right? So you might be thinking, you just read that, and maybe the place that you want to go is like, I want to learn a little bit more about what is actually happening in this passage. What is life like back then? If you are paying attention to details, for instance, there's a detail in Luke that doesn't come out in the other Gospels that the roof that these guys broke through was a tile roof. And when we hear that, we think like, what does that matter? But if you dig into the history of that era, tile roofs meant that was a rich person's house. So like Jesus is getting hosted by some rich guy who has a really fancy roof. And I'm not an expert at roofing 2,000 years ago, but I think it works the same as today as when you take a giant hole the size bigger than a person through a already built building, like you've ruined that roof, right? Like that's not a small problem. So if your brain goes there, you're like digging into like, oh, this was a rich person's house. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff to jump off from there, right? Like I want to, if you look at the Gospel of Luke, there's a lot of stuff about rich people actually. Like if you pay attention to each of the Gospels, what gets focused on? I remember I had an experience with some real poverty in another country and it clicked. Like, as an American, like, I'm rich, right? Like, I got running water where I live. There's a lot of people that look at that and think, like, that must be nice, right, if they could see me. And so then I read the Gospel of Luke, and when Jesus talks about rich people, that'll change your life if you let it talk to you. When Jesus says stuff to rich people in Luke, if you're like, he's talking to me, it's scary. Like, it's not fun way to, you know, it's a scary way to read the Gospel of Luke. Okay, so that's one way you could take it. Like, oh, I'm going to dig in, I'm going to find a nugget, and it's going to help me read this differently. Maybe you're not wanting to read it differently, especially after you hear the thing about, like, being called a rich person and having to change. Like, maybe that's not your cup of tea, right? So maybe you read it, and you're thinking about the theology of that statement. Jesus saw the friend's faith, and he forgives the guy. Like, isn't that pretty strange, right? We always talk about, like, you as an individual, you got to figure yourself out with God, and you got to go to God yourself and ask for forgiveness. But, like, strangely, in this passage, it's the four friends' faith that specifically gets mentioned, and then Jesus forgives this other guy his sins. I mean, some of us are like, man, I got a guy that's out in Dog Patch right now. Like, let me get three friends, and we're going to drag them to Maywood, right? We'll just fix this guy, right? We'll just make God forgive him, right? Somebody's ready. Yeah, Justin's ready to go right now, right? Like, I didn't know it was that simple, right? Like, we'll break something, right? Property damage, we know how to do that, right? Like, we've got some experience, right? We just property damage our way to our friends getting forgiven, right? So maybe that's where your mind starts to go. Like, I want to understand the theology of forgiveness, right? Or maybe even something about, like, I want to have friends that have the type of faith to where Jesus treats me in a better way. I don't know. So that's one way you could want to go. You could say you're reading this passage and you're like, I want to have the type of relationship where I'm close enough to Jesus, where at least every once in a while, me and everybody around me is filled with awe because Jesus is doing stuff that's incredible, right? And so you're like, I want to have more incredible things in my life. So I want to look at this passage and copy something from it. So like at the end of it, just like them, I can be like, I'm in awe because Jesus is such incredible stuff. Now, all of you guys are like, yeah, I'm actually getting some like feedback. Thank you guys for that. But how many of you are still thinking about the bunny and the ear? Anybody? Because what did I leave out in all those little paths I just went to you? You guys talk louder now. Everyone's getting quiet and shy. Listening to what Jesus wants, right? I don't know if you're catching it, but what I talked about is like, I want a new way to read the Bible. I want to understand the theology. I want an experience. It's pretty easy to slip into. We just got a little cute bunny even, and we still slipped right back into like, this is cool. Let's think about what I want. Guess how we live our marriages and our parenting and our co-working and our friendships? Our natural state that we constantly slip into is, what do I want? We're not being mean to other people, maybe on purpose, maybe some of us are, right? But like, but we're just self-centered. Like, that's our starting point, right? We always catch what we want, but like, even if we got cute animals reminding us, like, it's hard to hold on to thinking about what does someone else want. Because Jesus specifically said, I want, in this passage. But most of us, like, just moved right on to, like, the tile thing's cool, right? Like, that's cool. I didn't know that about old houses and the tile. Or the friend thing and forgiveness, that's strange. Or the awe thing sounds exciting. It's so easy to get caught up in interesting or exciting and to not pay attention to the person we love and what they want. Because interestingly, this is what Jesus says he wants. I want you to know that the Son of Man, that's his title for himself that he uses a lot, that the Son of Man has what? Authority, right? If when you first woke up today, I said, what does Jesus want today? I don't know that anybody in the room would have said, I think Jesus today wants us to know that he has authority. That's not like our favorite trait probably of his or something. Like, we love the grace or the power or the forgiveness. But here he's saying, like, the thing I want out of this room, out of this experience back in Luke chapter 5 is I want the people to know that I have the authority to forgive sins. So let's pause there for a second. God brought you, whether you're on Facebook right now or whether you're sitting in a pew, God brought you to this room. The topic of this sermon is that Jesus has authority. Maybe the thing God wants you to get right is to actually get that into your heart, the authority that Jesus has. Now, why is that so important? It says here he has authority to forgive sins. We're going to stay on this verse for a second. First thing I want to say about that is, imagine being the rich guy whose house just got destroyed. And Jesus is like, I forgive all your sins, right? Rich guy's like, that's my roof that just got ruined. Like, who is Jesus to be forgiven stuff, right? Some of us in the room have been really abused by somebody else. Some of us have been super wounded by somebody mistreating us and doing something evil to us. So I'm not trying to say that you don't need to work on forgiving people yourself. I'm not trying to say that what someone did to you is okay. But I've got a set of twins at home, my kids, they're in second grade now, but I remember them as toddlers, and I remember giving them toys. They were kind of general house toys, and then having them fight over it with each other. He stole my whatever. She stole my whatever. The truth is, like, that's all my stuff. Like, nobody stole anything. It's like, it's all mine. You know, like, it's not yours. You know, like, if I say she can use it, then guess whose it is? Like, it's mine. So, like, well, you don't have any reason to be upset about it, Samuel, or you don't have any reason to be upset about it, Sequoia. It's all mine. And that thing you broke over there that you don't even realize, like, that I bought that too. You know, like, everything we have, everything we experience, from a certain perspective that is true, it's not the whole story, but one true perspective is God owns it all because he created it all. So when we claim that we have a right to be bitter or hateful or spiteful, like we might have a lot of reasons to be those things, but we don't have the authority to be those things. Like the only one that has authority to say like that should or shouldn't be forgiven is Jesus. So Jesus gets to make all the rules about forgiveness. I don't really understand how the friend's faith inspires Jesus to forgive this man. I don't really understand the logic of it, but I also know like he's the owner. He gets to decide what's right and what's wrong about forgiveness. Now it's easy for me to say like we don't have any right to be bitter. Some of you, you know, somebody in this room has been abused as a little kid or something else just like monstrous has been done to you. You can't just like snap your fingers and be over it, okay? Like I'm not just being cold like that. But a piece of what we need to accept is that Jesus is the Lord of everything. And if that person comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I did the wrong thing and I'm sorry, Jesus is going to forgive them. And he's not betraying you when he forgives them. Jesus will change them. Jesus won't say, like, it's okay to still keep abusing kids and I just don't forgive you and you just keep being a child abuser. Like that Jesus is going to work with them. He's not going to go with them if they won't obey him. But we feel like we have a right to not forgive people. You know, like that's a natural disposition of the human heart typically. And here Jesus is saying, I get authority when it comes to forgiveness and nobody else has the same authority Jesus does. So when you read Psalm 51, David, this guy after God's own heart who really messes it up, I mean, murder, adultery, but it's a little crazy when he's like, I've just sinned against you, God. It's like, what? Like you murdered somebody. What about that guy's family? You know, like how could you say you just sinned against God? I don't understand all of it, but what I'm telling you is like there, from a certain angle, God is the owner of everything. And when we submit to him and say, Jesus, I'm going to drop all my junk. Please give me a new life. We don't get to hold on to the right of who gets forgiven. And Jesus is going to forgive your enemies as soon as they repent, as soon as they come to him and say, Jesus, please help. And we got to let go of people and realize Jesus is going to give them the same good stuff he wants to give me. And they might have done a little bit more than you in some area or something, but the truth is, like, we're all sinners, right? And I see it in this room. And so you guys gasped at me last week when I talked about that I cussed at somebody, and that, like, shocked me. Of like, there's not, like, two types of people in this room, those who have done meth and those who aren't such bad people. Like, that's not true. Like, there's sinners in this room, right? Like, there's just people who are a mess without God. And like, stop thinking that like there's good people and bad people in some sort of category. Like there's broken people who need Jesus. That's the only type of people we got. Like our life would be a lot easier if we had some perfect people. I could tell you, like if I just had a few perfect people to put into spots at Maywood, including lead pastor, you're like, we could be a better church, right? But we don't have any of those perfect people running around except for Jesus, right? Like we all need Jesus shining through us, right? So he's got the authority to forgive. One other thing about this authority is the context, right? So let's go to this next verse I got up here. Let's see. It's verse 20. Oh, sorry, not verse 20. Verse 21. If we can go back there. Do you notice the Pharisee said, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? That means to talk bad about God, dishonor God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? He said, I think Jesus wasn't just claiming the authority over forgiveness. Because he does this in other parts. We read it a lot in John, right? Jesus claims divine power, right? Like the Pharisees aren't actually wrong in the fact here, but they're wrong about the Jesus who's right in the room with them. and there's some stuff going on in your life, and you might really be hard-hearted about it because you do have one of the facts right. This other person really was a jerk, or this thing isn't as, you know, as easy for you as it is for somebody else. You got one fact right. Are you giving Jesus all the authority that he really has in that situation? What does that mean? It means when you're going through something and you don't like it, if you're spending time reading the Bible, praying, trying to listen to Jesus, you don't have to like what you're going through. You don't have to understand why it's happening, right? I had a conversation with Jesus yesterday where it's like, I don't know why this bad thing happened to me today. And I don't know if you're punishing me or if this is just a hard thing. I don't know what's happening. But I'm just going to keep trying to do the next right thing, and I'm going to keep trying to listen. And I trust that it's going to eventually work out, right? Like, God gets to be God, and like, I'm just one of the servants, right? Like, we don't get to always know exactly everything that's going on. We just got to trust that God's going to be good to us. And I had a rough day yesterday, but a few days before that, God really blessed me on Thursday with like something I really had a hard time submitting on with God probably 4 years ago, early on in COVID. God told me, don't do this thing, do that thing. And I did it, but I really wanted to do the other thing. Well, just on Thursday this week, God gave me the thing I was hoping to get for myself years ago. And I realized, like, doing the thing Jesus told me to do 4 years ago set up that dream becoming a reality on Thursday for me. And it involves somebody else. I can't get into all the details, but sometimes we want something right now, and we think we can get it for ourselves. And if Jesus tells you, like, to stop, you don't have to understand why he's telling you to stop. But I also can tell you Jesus is a good enough friend. I mean, he calls that paralyzed guy friend. Like, Jesus is a good enough friend. He has enough power. He listens to what we want. That if what we want is good for us at some point, he will give it to us. And when we obey, we're setting ourselves up to be ready for the blessings he wants to put in our life, right? Sometimes we want it in 2020 and it comes in 2024. Like, I didn't like that. Like, if I could just be honest. But then it came, I just thought, like, oh, it's so sweet. And I actually realized if I would have tried to grab it for myself, I would have messed it up. Anybody else ever have an experience like that? Maybe you even did it, where you're like, I messed it up. I messed up my dream trying to grab it for myself. If I would have just been patient like God told me to be, I could have got it in a healthy way. So we're going to bring this thing home. I got one more cute animal for you, okay? Let's show you this picture. I think this is from the Kansas City Zoo. This is a little otter. We're going to finish up with some baptism. We're going to finish it up with the best stuff, right? But here's another little thing, just another little cute animal thing for you, in case you forgot the rabbit, is sea otters. I think that is a river otter, actually, but sea otters have this crazy habit that's also cute. When they sleep, they're in the ocean, but they like to be with their other little otter friends, right? So if you're going to go to sleep and you're floating in the ocean, how do you stay together? Well, otters, because they're like the cutest animal ever, they decide, like, let's hold hands while we sleep. And at some point during the night, if we stop holding hands, it makes them wake up and like find each other, which is just like, I mean, like, Erdie even thinks it's cute, right? I mean, like, everybody thinks it's, I mean, it's cute, right? That's like the cutest thing ever. Like, we're gonna hold hands, and if we let go, I'll wake up, right? Like, they're much sweeter than we are to each other, right? Like, but they have something set up that they physically do every day to make sure they don't get very far away. What if every day you spent some time with Jesus and you tried to check in with, like, Jesus, am I close to what you want? Don't assume you know what Jesus wants. Like, that's a way to mess up your relationships. You start assuming you know what the other person wants. Like, listen to Jesus every day, right? Do exactly what we just did. Read the Bible and then ask yourself, like, what does Jesus want? You might get it wrong, but wouldn't that be great if, like, that was the mistake you made? Like, you could stand in front of Jesus and, like, I thought you wanted me to help that homeless guy and be late to my meeting, but you actually just wanted me to be a man of my word and show up on time, like, I'm sorry. But at least my sorry is, like, I misunderstood and my heart genuinely was trying to follow what Jesus wanted. Like, that's, I wish those were my mistakes, right? Like, those are the mistakes you want, right? So there you go. You got the rabbit, you got the otter. If you're that type of person, I hope that sticks with you. Jesus has authority to forgive. And we're going to see it in action with these baptisms. Eddie's getting them ready. Eddie, if you can hear me. So Eddie's getting them ready. But baptism is about saying, I need Jesus' forgiveness, and I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And so you go down in the water saying, I'm dead to my old ways. But when you come up clean. Not because you've earned it, but because Jesus has done that, right? Jesus' blood and Jesus' goodwill towards us, like just his mercy, is why we're able to be forgiven. So Jesus has the authority right now. He's forgiven these folks that are getting baptized. He has the authority to forgive you. If you're in here today and you feel guilty about something, don't leave the room without saying, Jesus, I believe you have authority. Like, I want forgiveness and I want to follow you, right? Jesus, we believe that you have all authority. We believe that you are with us when we're on mission with you. So Jesus, I pray over every person in this room, everybody listening to this sermon, that you would change somebody's life through us, that you would save them out of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light, that we would have the honor to baptize them, that we would have the honor to teach them in your name, and that we would see them grow strong in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.